Continuing with our learning of Rosh Shalom Arish's book, Gan HaShalom, Gan Emunah, Garden of Faith. And we're learning that we don't know anything, that we don't know much. Hashem's ways are hidden from us, and our job is to trust Him. That He knows what He's doing, and that's our job. Job to throw away our sechel, throw away our intellect that tells us otherwise. Rely on Hashem. Rabbi Arish writes like this. Rabbi Meir Balanes ibed et shnei banav b'shabbat. Rabbi Meir Balanes lost, so to speak, they died, his two sons on Shabbos. Ishto b'ruya shamra et hadavar b'sod. B'samcha im ba'ala. He wasn't aware that his sons had died. His wife, Bruria, was aware. So she hid the matter from him. On Shabbos, she didn't tell him. Right? Shabbos is a day for simcha. It's a day not to be sad. We know that even if a person is sinning shiva on Shabbat, there's no shiva. Right? A person is not allowed to mourn on Shabbos. So she didn't want to spoil his Shabbos. So she didn't tell him. But right, but said Shabbat to Diyalo. Only after Shabbat went out, she told him. That it was the time had come to return the pikadon. The pikadon. Pikadon is a deposit, security that Hashem had given them. It was time to return it. That's the intro. So Rav Arish now explains the story in a bit more detail. All this is told over in the Midrash of Mishlei. Rabbi Meir Balanes, he was sitting on Shabbat in the Beit Midrash, and he didn't know that his two sons had died. What did his wife do? She brought them up to the attic and covered them with a blanket. When he returned on Motzei Shabbat from Shul, from Davening, to his house, he asked, "Where are our two sons?" His wife Bruria answered him, but she didn't answer him in a clear way until they made Havdalah. So they're after Havdalah and they had Suda Revi'it, the fourth meal, Malav Malka. Only then she answered him and she said to him, "Rebbe," how she called the husband, "Rebbe." You're lucky if your wife calls you Rebbe. Even if you are a Rebbe. You're a Rebbe for everyone else in the world, but not for your wife. Like Rav Elgud said, Rav Elgud, the posik of the yeshiva. Right? Rav Arish comes to Rav Elgud for his sack. His wife, Rav Elgud said his wife won't take it from him. If he tells his wife, asks him halacha, and he says, "Yeah, this is what you need to do," she'll argue with him. So what did he say? He said, "I read it in a book that this is what we need to do." And she'll take him. A wife to this. No matter who you are. Right? Tov. Anyway, so, but obviously, unless you're Rabbi Meir Balanes, and then your wife calls you Rabbi. Psh. Tov. Sheila lecha lecha. Sheili lelech. I've got a question for you. He said to her, "Ask me." BT, he calls her my daughter. She calls him Rebbe and he calls her BT, my daughter. Amralah, she said to him, a person who had deposited with him a certain deposit a while back, and now the owner of the deposit came to collect it back. What should he do? So Rabbi Meir answered, "My daughter, BT, his wife. Mishiyesh pikadon eslo. So anyone, a person who has a deposit that was deposited with him, he needs to return it when the owner comes to take back the deposit. He needs to return it. It's a simple question. So she took him by the hand, she took him up to the attic, and she showed him there the two sons who are lying dead. He began to cry over his sons. So she said to him, "Rebbe, didn't you just tell me that someone who has a deposit deposited with him, he needs to return it when the owner asks for it back? Immediately he stopped crying and he said, Hashem natan li v'Hashem lakach. Hashem gave to me and Hashem took away. Yishem Hashem avorach. The name of Hashem will be blessed forever. Rama Rabbi Hanina, v'dva ze nichamto v'nityashva dato. Rabbi Hanina said about this, that this matter, when he heard this story, that it gave him a lot of comfort, and it gave him, Yishuv dat, a settled mind. About this, this is the pasuk, Eshet Chayo Miyimsa, who can find a woman like this, who can set a person straight? It's interesting here, he says that it comforted him, Rabbi Hanina, and it settled his mind. Rabbeinu says that the reason people are not close to Hashem is only for one reason. They don't have a settled mind. If a person had a settled mind, he would be close to Hashem. That's why this world is, that's why we're so, as the generation goes on, generations go on, we're further and further away. It's more and more difficult to get close to Hashem because we don't have settled minds. In the past, before they had iPhones, and then before they had internet, and then before they had TV, and then before they had radio, and then before they had
movies,
right? All the, everyone in the past believed in God. Jews, non-Jews, whatever, they all believed in God. Why? Because they had Yishuv Dat. But once you start bringing in all these additional influences, excitement, right, all these things, that no one has time for Yishuv Dat. One of the other additional many reasons for doing Hibbadadut. Hibbadadut is our time to have Yishuv Dat. You turn off the phone. You turn off everything. You come away from the troubles and the bothers of this world to sit and have Yishuv Dat. Personally, has Yishuv Dat, he automatically becomes close to Hashem. Because you take away all the nonsense. It can take a person a lot of time if he's very bothered, he's full of this world, and it's hard for him to switch off, so to speak. Take him a week before he can, a week of...
Because you have got rid of oversight. Now you have used that more time. That's let's say, well, there was no car. You have to walk to the place. Mm-hmm. So today you drive, you know, very fast.
Right.
There's not so much cars.
Right. Yeah. It used to be that you could. I remember that when I was at university, I used to come home on the train. It's not a long journey, an hour to get home. Occasionally, every few weeks or whatever, when I come home, that time on the train, it was just me and no one else. You couldn't do anything else. It was like no one to speak to. It was just, I wasn't with anyone. And that was my best thinking time, planning. I got, that was like to get stuff done, to like connected, to was flying. Right, the rest of the time, yeah, this, it's all, everything's going on in the world. Right, we need that time. Ramash, we need that time.
It's like, a paid vacation. People pay money to don't have a phone, don't have TV, don't have internet. All they have is they may bring a book.
Okay.
And sit on the beach.
It's called Shabbos. Right? Hashem gives us a top. And can have it every day as well. It's called Hibbadadut. Hibbadadut. Speaking to God in our own words for an hour a day with no other distractions. Just to switch off. Even if we do nothing else, we get the benefit. Rabbeinu says, even if you say no words, you just say one word, Hashem. I've got nothing else to say, Hashem. That's it. It still counts. It counts above everything else. Why? Because at that point, why is it higher? Because at that point, I'm closest to God. Because there's nothing else in between. There's nothing else getting in the way. I've got no other distractions.
That's a true man. Person is sick. Use it as the time where you can
Speak to him.
Speak to him, but you say no, you have to be, you have not think about the sickness.
Right, there's no time to.
Shem give you a time break, most time when you see. You know. He's doing working, walking, and everything, then you see, so everything all away. It's only the sickness with you now. Now you have time to think why I'm sick. But today you cover this too, the sickness.
When we have that time alone, that's the time that we can actually work on ourselves. Because up until then, there's no time to think about myself. Where am I going? What am I doing? How am I behaving? How am I midot? Am I acting? Am I acting properly? Am I behaving properly? What can I do about it? What can I change? Who's got time to think about that in this world? No one has time to think about those important things. And no one wants, right? And a person gets to a certain point in their life, he doesn't want to think about that stuff. He doesn't know what to do with it, doesn't know how to change it, doesn't want to look it in the face, doesn't want to look himself in the face. Very difficult. Anyway, so what happened here? Continue. another example. Rabbi Yochanan lost his 10 sons, right? They died. Rabbi Yochanan's 10 sons all died. And he would go around with a tooth, some say a small bone, or a tooth of his son, of his 10th son, would carry it around with him. And he would be Menachem Avelim. He would go to comfort mourners. What would he say to them? So it says in Masechet Brachot, Dachay. This is the bone of my 10th son who died. If you will see that I lost 10 sons and I'm still smiling and happy, because I understand that this world is not the main thing, it's not the Ikar. And these souls of my sons, simply that they completed their tikkun in this world. And the reason why they were here. What is there to be sad about? After all, they are now enjoying themselves in the world which is all good, right? The world to come. And if we are still here in this world, so the only reason that we're still here is that we still haven't completed our tasks that we need to do. Right, so Rabbi Yochanan, Tov, these are great sages that were nowhere near their level, or to even understand their level, but to understand the ideas that they're giving, that's what we can do. Rabbi Nachman lost also his 2 sons, and his first wife when he was very young. And he himself passed on to the next world when he was only 38. Many other tzaddikim also went through tests like this. And everyone knows that they were holy tzaddikim. Because death comes to everyone. Without connection to how righteous they are. Like Hazal says, if Moshe died, who won't die? Right? Everyone is going to get to that position. Right? We're all destined for that same end. Right? No one lives forever. Which is not something we like to think about, but something important to think about. Because if a person who thinks about the day of death, it's very motivating to mend his ways. So we should all be aware of that. It's going to happen. You can't avoid it. Can't get away from it. When Barai says that when a person hears or sees that someone died young, we see that everybody gets shaken up from the reality of death. Right? When you hear someone died and they were 25, someone died in the youth, they get shaken from the reality of death. Barai says on the contrary, it should be the opposite. We should be more shaken up when we hear that someone died in their old age. Why? Because when someone dies young, he says, this isn't proof for anything. It doesn't prove anything. Why? Because a person can say, well, that's an unusual occurrence. That he died young, how often does that happen? Right? So, therefore, I'm not going to think that that could happen to me. Because it's unusual. Who dies young? Right? Very rare. But when a person sees that someone died in their old age, after a good life, that should really shake them up. Because he said, even if he, right, that's for sure is going to happen to me. That should be more worrying to me. So, now he brings a case which is also not so understood logically why it should happen. Sometimes, when a person begins to lachzor b'tshuva, to make tshuva, to make repentance, he can receive ezo makah, a certain tragedy can befall him. He can go through a certain bad, difficult event, can be tested very much when he starts to make tshuva. And he can ask, why dafka now? Why specifically now this happened to me? That I started to keep Shabbat, or keep kosher, or keep some other laws. And now I get this very difficult test, very difficult thing that happens to me. Before I started keeping the laws, the Torah mitzvahs, this never happened. So how do I understand that this is the reward for keeping Torah, that you get given such a difficult thing in return? Okay, how could this happen? So many ask on the Shoah, on the Holocaust, why did Hashem do this to so many holy communities that were amongst them many, many tzaddikim, many righteous people that were busy in Torah and mitzvot, truly busy in Torah and mitzvot? But people, he doesn't give the answers here. Top of them are answers to all of these, but he gives them to show that really the world is full of things that we don't understand. And at this stage, he just wants to show the point that we don't know what, we don't understand the world. So we should stop trying to think that we do. We should listen to people who can tell us how the world works, because we don't. Anashim shokhim she'eino olam hazeh ikar. People forget that this world is not the ikar. It's not the main thing. Right? We think that this is the main thing. Everything has to resolve around this world, that this world has to be understood and clear. And everything else is like a byproduct of this world. It's not. This is not the ikar. Adam hu hinei l'shlichut. We're here for a shlichut, for a reason, for a task. U'mizeh somchot lahem kol hakashot. And from this grows all the difficulties. But if they would remember that there is a world to come, and the person in this world is here in order to fix things, all of a person's questions would be cancelled. The person knows that the world to come is the main thing, that everything is geared towards that. But the reason why we're going through all these difficulties and all these problems, the thing is in order that the main event is okay. That's eternity that's coming. This is not the ikar. It's like having a kid in kindergarten. Kindergarten? In the English words, they also cross over. In kindergarten, right? And he's there and he's frustrated that it's not working. Right? My life's just not coming together. You're right, don't worry, it's not the ikar. Just enjoy yourself here. The ikar is when you're going to grow up, and right? But no, but now I'm trying to paint and it's not painting nicely. I'm trying to solve. I'd like to use the laptop on the teacher's desk, and it's right? my life is, and I'm difficulties, and I'm falling over, and I can't even stand properly, and this kid's beat me up. Relax, this is not the main thing. This will pass, and then you'll have your life. This is not, this too, this world is not the main thing. This is only to get us into a good shape for the world to come. That's where we're going to live for eternity. That's the main deal. This is just the corridor to get us into there. How are we going to be there? Are we going to be fixed when we get into there? So all the difficulties and all we have, this is just the training ground. Right? Everybody cares about the big match. No one cares that you messed up in the training ground. Right? You were playing football and you missed or whatever. It's fine. Right? Because it's the big event that we care about. This is just the... So we have to go through all the difficulties, all the exercises and all the punishing, coaching that we need to go through in order that we're there for the big day, which is the main event. So then if a person knows that, he's not worried about this world, because everything in this world is temporary. All right, I'm suffering right now. Fine, I've got a bad back, hurting me a lot. Wonderful. It's not their car. Your car is told this will come and this will go. The main thing is how am I going to be for eternity? Like a long time, apparently. Right? It's the main thing. And if this is fixing me, if this is a kapara, or if this gets me to mend my ways, to look at myself and to fix myself, that's wonderful. Because I've got eternity to look back on that period of, I know, 5 years, 10 years, 40 years, 120 years, where it was pretty difficult. So fine. But it got me that big. And then there's no kashyat, there's no krishyat. But if I think this is the main thing, and I want this to be the main thing, and I want to have it easy here, so then I've got a lot of difficulty. So I'm not having it easy here. It's not fun. I'm not enjoying myself. But if I think I should be enjoying myself, I should be having it good here. So I've got a lot of difficulties, I've got a lot of questions. It's not right. Why is it not working? Why is it not going well? Why am I having difficulties with all these things? Because if this was the main event, this is why God created me, then it's 100% correct. There's a lot of problems. It's not right. I don't deserve this. You're right, 100%. If this was the main event, should be that everything should be going fine. I do what I need to do, and you give me what I need, and we've got a very nice relationship, and everything's well. That's how it should be. If this was what we were built for, this was what we were created for. That's not what we're created for. Because we forget that, that's why we have complaints. We think our complaints are rational and logical and reasonable, but they're not. Because they're based on the wrong premise. So we need to shift our understanding, and then the complaints fall away. Now, Rabbi Akiva famously says in the Gemara, a person should accustom himself to say, this too will pass. This too will pass. All difficulties that we go to, they have a time, they have a set limit, and they pass. Just like this world will pass, so too all our problems. Hamunah ba'olam haba hi yesod emunah amitit. Our belief in the world to come is a true foundation of Amunah. And many and the through it our difficulties, our suffering in this world, they receive a completely different meaning when we look at it through the perspective of the world to come. When we understand that the existence of the person in this world is only a portion of his complete process that began that began a long time before he was born and will continue a long time after he died. Right? This is not even the beginning. It's not even like that, the story of being in kindergarten. You got that first section, but the main thing is yet to come. Right? This is actually just a little shlab in the middle. We had all those Gilgulim beforehand, before we even got here. and then we've got all eternity that comes after. This is like, so we're a little section out of the middle that we've taken out and looked at, and well, what's going on with that? Right, put it in, back in the whole picture, it all looks good. Take it out and examine it, well, wait a minute, there's a bit missing. Why is there a bit missing? Yeah, because it's not fixed yet. Something got broken over here and didn't get yet fixed, but if you fix it now, it's going to be fixed forever. In the writings of Rav Chaim Vital, it's brought a story that he learned from his rabbi, the Arizal. So we're going to say that story because it's a long story, and we'll continue with that tomorrow.